From WBUR Boston and NPR, I'm Tom Asbrook, and this is On Point. In 2010, Chris Christie, Cory Booker, and Mark Zuckerberg all appeared together on Oprah. To the cheers of the crowd, the Facebook founder announced a $100 million challenge grant to fix Newark, New Jersey's failing schools. The push had money, big names, high hopes. The governor, the mayor, the young billionaire. Nearly 4 years later, the money's gone. The schools aren't fixed. And Newark just elected a new mayor who ran against the whole project. What happened? This hour on Point, fixing schools and what we can learn from Newark, New Jersey. You can join us on air or online, where this conversation is always on. If this combination didn't do it, what will? What do you hear in Mark Zuckerberg's Newark schools story? Join us anytime at onpointradio.org or on Twitter and Facebook at OnPoint Radio. Joining me first today from Newark is Ted Sherman, longtime reporter for the Star-Ledger in Newark, where he just covered the victory of Roz Baraka in Newark's mayoral election. Baraka ran against the Zuckerberg school reform push. Ted Sherman is author of The Jersey Sting. Ted Sherman, welcome to On Point.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for having me.
How big a deal were schools and the Mark Zuckerberg, Chris Christie, Cory Booker push in this election, Ted?
Well, the schools were a central point in the election. There were a number of issues in the election, but the schools and the takeover by the state of the schools were a focal point right throughout the election. On one side, Roz Baraka, who won the election and is a principal in one of the city schools, was an outspoken critic. Not of the Facebook deal so much, but of the fact that the state controls and will continue to control the school system. On the other side was Shavar Jeffries, who was supported by a lot of charter school advocates and wasn't a advocate so much of the state takeover, because everybody in Newark is unhappy with state control, but thought it was going in the right direction.
So here we are, $100 million essentially gone, a new mayor in. Cory Booker has gone off to the U.S. Senate. What is the new mayor saying he'll do with the schools? Will he work with Mark Zuckerberg?
Well, there's not much to work with Mark Zuckerberg. As you noted at the beginning, there's not a lot of money left. And the schools were and are and will continue to be under state control. So he has said he will work with the superintendent who is a state appointee. But when push comes to shove, whoever was going to be the mayor was not going to have a heck of a lot of say in the school system here in Newark.
Ted, the state takeover of Newark schools came well before Mark Zuckerberg got involved. What has made that such a big issue in this election? Presumably, the previous mayor, Cory Booker, seemed to be fine with it.
Well, yeah, he was, and the takeover actually preceded Cory Booker. The takeover goes back to 1994 or around then, and as Dale Resikoff notes in her story, there was a lot of corruption in Newark schools. She makes a point at one point in her article where she talks about a school that the Board of Education was negotiating to buy, which turned out to be owned by a sham company run by two school principals. What she doesn't note in the story is one of those principals was connected with the Essex County Democratic machine, and not only was he trying to profit through the school system, but all of his relatives had patronage jobs in various Essex County government bodies, including the school system here in Newark.
Ted,
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, step back with us for just a second. I've only got you for another minute here. The whole country saw, you know, the big announcement on Oprah. Everybody was talking about it. Here's this young Silicon Valley billionaire, Facebook founder. He's going to bring $100 million. And you've got Republican governor, Democratic mayor Cory Booker, and Chris Christie there, and Zuckerberg. I mean, there was a sense, maybe naive, but hey, maybe this is it. Maybe they'll figure it out. Maybe they'll find the combination. What's your bottom line assessment of why this didn't work or it was even rejected?
It wasn't rejected so much. It was that nobody had a clear plan what to do with the money, and right from the start, a lot of that money started getting spent by consultants. Mayor Booker, who never spent a lot of time in the city, did not really focus a lot of attention on this, and so the money came and went. And now you have a new mayor coming in who is trying to be a little bit more focused on the schools, but he doesn't have the money and he doesn't have the control.
Ted Sherman with the Star-Ledger joining us from Newark, New Jersey. Ted, thanks very much for being with us.
Thank you.
We'll hear in a moment from the New Yorker's Dale Ruskoff, who has written this up in quite incredible detail. Let's roll the tape back for a second first, though, to September 2010, Cory Booker, Chris Christie, and Mark Zuckerberg all appeared on Oprah to announce Zuckerberg's $100 million challenge grant for Newark schools. Here's Oprah Winfrey turning to Facebook founder Mark Zuckerberg before he named the number and got a standing ovation.
What role are you playing in all of this? Are the rumors true? Will there be a check offered at some point? Yes.
I've committed to starting the Startup Education Foundation, whose first project will be a $100 million challenge grant.
$100 million.
Oh, boy. How could it go wrong? Well, let's ask. Joining us now from Montclair, New Jersey is Dale Ruskoff. She's a longtime reporter, was for The Washington Post, covering education and more. Her big new piece in The New Yorker magazine is headlined, Schooled. Cory Booker, Chris Christie, and Mark Zuckerberg had a plan to reform Newark schools. They got an education. Her new book, out in September, is the prize, the high-stakes, big-money race to save our failing schools. Dale Ruskoff, welcome back to On Point. Great to have you.
Hi, thank you. Nice to be here.
What a story this is, and what a reporting job you did. This is just incredible. Take us back. How did Mark Zuckerberg, sitting out in Silicon Valley, get his eye on the Newark, New Jersey school system in the first place, Dale?
Well, he had never been to Newark, but he and his then-girlfriend, now wife, Priscilla Chan, were very, very sincerely interested in doing something about urban education. It sort of began with her. She grew up in Quincy, Massachusetts, in what she has described as a disadvantaged family. Her parents were Vietnamese-Chinese immigrants mm-hmm. from Vietnam. They worked 18 hours a day. She was raised, you know, cared for by a grandmother. And public schools had everything to do with her being able to realize her dream of going to a great college. She went to Harvard. And while she was there, she spent a tremendous amount of her time working. I mean, every day after class, she went to Dorchester in Mass, you know, in the Boston area, one of the poorest communities, and worked with children in the housing projects there. And she just really kind of fixated on all of the issues that played into their lives and how, you know, their difficulties in school were related. Difficulties growing up in poverty and the health issues and the emotional issues, you know, that were all wound together. And she ended up she became a pediatrician and working with an underserved population, with foster children. And she just had a very deep understanding of how complex this issue was and how great the needs were.
So Mark Zuckerberg, through Priscilla Chan, his wife, who we met there at Harvard, maybe mm-hmm. primed to do something on the education front. He finds himself sitting at a fancy retreat in Idaho next to the mayor, the young African-American, hot young mayor of Newark, New Jersey, Cory Booker, who's looking for money.
Right. So he and, you know, Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan decided that, you know, even though he's only 26 years old, he's going to give away half his money. He's going to start his philanthropy, you know, a generation before Bill Gates started his and whatever. And he wants to do something, quote, big in education. And Cory Booker has gotten a little bit of advance tip from a friend who knows Zuckerberg that Zuckerberg's looking mm-hmm. for this. And he's ready with his, you know, his great argument about how Newark is the city you've got to come to, that we are, you know, unlike New York City with 1.2 million students, we have only 40,000. There's no way we can't take everything in education reform that we know works, bring it to Newark, and transform this district in 5 years.
How big was that challenge? How bad are Newark's schools?
Well, Newark schools are, you know, as troubled as schools in the poorest cities all over the country are. They have, you know, just all of the social and, you know, academic issues that really disadvantaged children have. have. And they have these really enormous bureaucracies that can't seem to get the money to the classroom where it's needed. And so they, you know, they had a school district where I think a third of the schools, in a third of the schools, fewer than 30% of the kids were reading at grade level. Only 54% of the ninth graders ever graduated. Those who did graduate and went to the local community college, 90% of them needed to take remedial classes before they could even qualify for college level work. It was a very, very troubled school district.
We all know how big this challenge, how deep it is, how difficult it is. But when this announcement came out, there, people thought, wow, at least I thought maybe something great can happen here. I don't know if we all just suspended disbelief for a moment, but certainly these three guys thought they could do something, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, I have to say, it sounded pretty exciting to me, too. And I thought, gee, I want to write about this. But I think that, one of the very most prominent people in the National School Reform Movement said to me that the school reform movement has a problem with overpromising and underdelivering, and sort of making a grand version of accomplishments and minimizing the setbacks and the challenges. And education, particularly in the inner city, is one. It is one of the most intractable challenges that there is. And nothing that you do in 5 years is going to be significant. You have to commit, a lifetime and more than a lifetime to it.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the deep difficulty of fixing failing schools, how Mark Zuckerberg, Chris Christie, and Cory Booker went into Newark, New Jersey's schools with $100 million in Zuckerberg's Facebook money and came out pretty much empty-handed. Dale Rusikoff has written it up in a tremendous story for The New Yorker. She joins us this hour. The headline is Schooled. It was 2010, and there was Mark Zuckerberg telling Oprah why he wanted to get involved here.
I've had a lot of opportunities in my life, and a lot of that comes from, having gone to really good schools. And I just want to do what I can to make sure that everyone has those same opportunities.
Oprah asked the dynamic young mayor of Newark, Cory Booker, what they were up to.
Mayor Booker, for those who don't know, what's the big news?
Well, we've been talking for quite some time about creating a bold new paradigm for educational excellence in the country to show the way, to put the people of the city of Newark really in the driver's seat and the focal point, and to work to get all the assets and resources we need to give to them to succeed.
A bold new paradigm for the country sounded exciting. By the time we came around to the mayoral campaign, just decided in Newark in recent weeks and months, that whole program was really under fire. The winner came out, Roz Baraka. He went up against Siobhan Jeffries, who had supported school reform along those lines. And listen how the winning candidate went after his opponent, Siobhan Jeffries, around schools and school reform, what they would do.
They'd shut down our schools, shut out our voices, turn public schools into private profit factories. And they're all connected to Siobhan Jeffries, the same interest backing Chris Christie, backing Christie's hand-picked school superintendent, the same Wall Street hedge fund managers who make money off our schools. They all support Jeffries, which means he's not with us. With Newark's future on the line, Siobhan Jeffries stands with the wrong people. Siobhan Jeffries isn't for us.
There was an ad from the winning candidate in Newark's mayoral race. Del Rusikoff explained to us what was the mindset of the sort of reform school that was brought into Newark that ended up being the subject of that kind of attack ad just now in the mayoral race. What was the reform impulse or paradigm, as Cory Booker had it, that they brought to Newark?
Well, I want to answer that question, but first I just want to say, what you said earlier, that they came up empty-handed. I really don't think that's true. And I pointed out in the article that while, the schools remain extremely troubled, you would expect that. You would never expect within 3 years that a district this troubled would suddenly be, as Booker called it, a hemisphere of hope. This was a lot of, overselling, a lot of hard work on the ground is underway, but, it's slow and it's frustrating and start and stop. But, they do have a new teacher's contract. They have 50 new principals. They have 4 new public high schools that are, specializing in everything from out of school youth to kids capable of accelerating to the college level. It's just that, these are not things that change a district, in 4 years. These are, you know, changes that are working in their own in their own area. They're working and they're helping certain kids in certain places. And I think the notion that you can change a whole district is just like, you know, a very it's just not a realistic way to talk about
it. But it was the notion at the beginning of this, wasn't it?
It actually was. That's the way they talked about it. And I when you talked about the question you just had about how did this reform effort inspire this campaign that was so successful and that reached so many people in a powerful way in Newark. And it was because I really believe they did it in large part to themselves. They came in and said, we know what works and we have the power in a state controlled district to do what we think is the right thing to do. And we're going to stand up to whatever forces try to stop us and we're going to shove it through. And, you know, that is a little bit of an exaggeration and a simplification, but not much. And that's certainly the way it came across to the people of Newark. They felt completely disrespected, as Raz Baraka said. They felt bullied and dictated to. And the interesting thing is that a lot of them agreed on principle with many of the changes that were needed. You cannot find 10 people in Newark who don't think the schools need dramatic improvement, but they didn't want it to be pushed onto them. And, you know, I think that a lot of the approach of the reform effort was about systems change, changing incentives, changing management systems, and not focusing on what is it that's happening in the classroom that needs our support.
So I want to take a look at what the impulse was, the direction was, and then what has been accomplished in this time, maybe what remains. But describe for us the school of reform that they were a part of. There was a mindset that you describe in your piece that was immediately brought to bear with Zuckerberg's money on Newark.
Well, the notion of the school reform movement, what kind of drives it is that the old-fashioned district bureaucracies are unworkable and have failed kids. And what we need is more entrepreneurial approaches that will be, you know, based on accountability for teachers and for schools and for principals, for everyone in the system. We need to judge people based on their performance and not based on how long they've worked in the district or, you know, how many advanced degrees they have. It's all about outputs, not inputs, as they say. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I actually – you look at the Newark district and how dysfunctional it is, and some measure of that is absolutely right. You know,
well, surely must be. You remind us they spend as much or more than anyone in the country per capita on their students.
Yeah, well, not more than anyone in the country, but way up there. You know, it comes out to about $20,000 per student.
That's hard.
And, you know, in California, I believe it's about $6,000, which – I can't even imagine how you could do that. But 20,000. And then I think in the article I pointed out that charter schools in New Jersey get, you know, a very high per pupil reimbursement, but it's not as high as that. And with less money per pupil, they get more money into the classroom, which is used. I mean, in the one charter school I spent the most time in, which was used to have academic and social support for these kids who desperately needed it in order to succeed academically. You know, in order for a teacher to reach them and help them, they needed, you know, a lot of their support, which the charter school had the money to give them.
Was the recipe, the big recipe brought to Newark with the Zuckerberg push, charter schools?
You know, that was one of them that, I mean, if you look at where the money went, half of it went to subsidizing this new teacher's contract, which the teachers agreed to and by a 60% vote. And now every person who gets a raise in Newark has to be rated on their evaluation as either effective or highly effective, or they don't get another raise.
So there's the accountability factor that did get implemented.
That did get implemented. And then there was also a change in the state law. The state commissioner, Chris Cerf, who basically did, you know, all the work for Christie on this, was very involved in both the contract and the new state law, which reformed tenure. And now in New Jersey, all throughout New Jersey, if you're rated ineffective on a new evaluation system, which is much tougher than the old one, 2 years in a row, you can have your tenure revoked. And it's only a 90-day arbitrator's hearing. It's not a 4-year lawsuit. So there is a lot more accountability that they did get in the system. So half of the money, almost $100 million, went to that contract and a supposed principal's contract to come that supposedly will have the same terms and some other labor issue money. So that's $100 million. And then almost $60 million went to charters, you know, has either been, you know, awarded or allotted for the support and expansion of charter schools. And that was a big part of the vision. But one of the things that they didn't anticipate and that the superintendent brought out in a very powerful way once they named her was, you know, if you expand the charter sector even more than it's already on track to grow, we will have so much money flowing out of the district schools. I'll be laying off teachers, closing mm-hmm. schools. The district schools will die. You will absolutely destroy the district schools in Newark. And it was just very interesting that nobody had foreseen those, you know, as she said, your theories have changed. You're on a collision course. So if you're trying, you know, the teacher's contract was all about reforming the district and the charter school money was all about building up the charter sector. And, you know, if you're going to do both, you can't do them on separate tracks because they're incompatible with each other.
And as you're describing there, even more than $100 million, because that was a challenge grant from Zuckerberg. And so there was another $100 million on top of that. The local response was at times really furious toward this. Here's a little tape of a school board meeting in Newark in January. A furious parent, Natasha Allen, is berating here the superintendent that was brought in as part of this push, Cami Anderson, who was brought in as part of the Booker-Zuckerberg push, who did not live in Newark, who is white but has a biracial child. This mother going after her for imposing an education plan on the city without community input.
So now you got your new little apartment up in Montclair, and then you want to just come down here and reign supreme like don't nobody have no kind of idea of what's going on. You act like we live in a state of martial law. You act like you deployed the army on us. I'm trying to figure out, like, do you not want for your brown babies what we want for ours?
We're not going to play this game. You act like we live in a state of martial law. What was driving that attitude, that response, Dale?
Well, the superintendent came up with a kind of a grand plan that she thought would answer this question of how do you let charters grow at the same time that you improve a district. And her idea was that you downsize the district because obviously money is flowing out. You close certain schools, you consolidate others, you try to improve. You basically get fewer, better schools in the district was her idea. And turn some of the buildings over to charters. Let the charters, you know, that are the ones that have the best record in Newark, run those schools and see if we can serve all kids and have everybody coexist. But the problem was that the plan, she called it 16-dimensional chess because there were so many moving parts. And it was not vetted, you know, step by step as she developed it with real families. And, you know, she talked to community groups and she talked to charter organizations. But, you know, in terms of understanding what was the impact going to be, you know, on families as you closed schools and moved students around, that, you know, nobody found out what that was going to entail until a month before that hearing that you heard. And so people suddenly were like, oh, my God, you know, my kid has to go to a school across town. And they get there. And even kids who were going to go to a school half a mile away, they were going to have to walk through, you know, very, very dangerous gang infested and drug dealing areas. These were kids, you know, 10, 11 and 12 years old. And then there were that particular mother had a daughter at Newark Vocational High School who was going to be a senior in the culinary arts program, and she was an honors student. And the school at that point was closing, and she, you know, had nowhere to go for her senior year and no way to complete this program that she had worked in. You know, there were just like a million pieces that parents like felt like, why are you doing this? We, you know, why didn't you tell us? Why don't we have a voice? We live here. But because the state controls the school district, they couldn't stop it, and they were absolutely livid. And that school board meeting was just amazing.
Pretty incredible. Let's go to our listeners. Chris in Andover, Massachusetts. Chris, you're on the air. Thank you for calling.
Hi, Tom.
Hi.
I just wanted to say that as an educator for 36 years in a urban community just outside of Boston, that charter schools haven't worked. But both Zuckerberg and other wealthy people have been putting money into charter schools where the people who have the experience in education should be the ones who are moving this forward. And as a matter of fact, in this particular community, we took grants that the state provided. We instituted an extended day. Time and learning was increased, and the students in this school became the highest achievers in the city. So that was without charter schools.
Chris, let me take that to Dale, if I may. Dale, it's true there was a big charter school impulse at the heart of this. Mark Zuckerberg was not the only billionaire with that impulse, Bill Gates and others. What was the thinking, the kind of view of the world that was driving that push? Our caller says they don't work. What was pushing it, and what does the Newark experiment tell us about charter schools in your view?
Well, the philanthropists who are most active in the school reform movement all believe that charter schools do work, that they're better than the school district, and because they like very much the fact that they have an entrepreneurial model where, you know, most of them are non-union, they don't have big bureaucracies, and their belief is that unions and big bureaucracies are really what is largely in the way of district schools performing better. That is their view. I think there's a lot more to the story of why district schools aren't performing better. But, you know, they have the view that the freedom that an entrepreneurial organization has allows them to do better by kids. Now, there are charter schools in Newark that have performed abysmally, and two of them were shut down in the last year for such, you know, like mismanagement, low performance, even questionable ethics. But Newark also has some charter schools that have done extremely well. And I wrote about one of them in the piece, and it's a school that has – I mean, it's a school, a network of schools that was founded by former district school teachers who very much wanted to serve all the kids and is very committed not to kicking kids out and not creaming kids and using resources to support very needy kids on the understanding that those kids need enormous support outside of just a good teacher in order to succeed and for the school to succeed. But you see, that all comes from those people. That doesn't come from the, you know, because it's a charter. It comes from those people. And there are district schools with people in leadership positions, very similar impulses. And they, you know, I think that they could do the same thing charter schools do if they had the ability to get the resources to the kids that the charter schools get to their kids.
I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point. We're talking this hour about the deep difficulty of fixing failing schools, how Mark Zuckerberg, Chris Christie, and Cory Booker went into Newark, New Jersey's schools with $100 million in Zuckerberg's Facebook money and came out, well, with much less than they hoped for. 2010, on Oprah, the big announcement came. Mark Zuckerberg was there, the Facebook founder, Cory Booker, then mayor of New Jersey, now a U.S. senator, and, of course, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie. Chris Christie singled out charter schools for praise, talking with Oprah.
I met a woman who got her son into one of the best charter schools in Newark, the Robert Treat Academy, and her son was now in the third grade at that point. And I said, what was it like the night you got him in? And she said, when I was waiting in that gym, I knew that whether his number got picked out was the difference between him going to college or going to jail. No mother in America should have to sit there and by chance decide that.
It all depended on getting into a charter school, said Governor Chris Christie. Roll forward to January, big school meeting there, very hot. Mayoral candidate at that point, Raz Baraka, who has now won, who will now be mayor of Newark, is now, slammed the big Zuckerberg push for Newark schools as unrealistic, saying it ignored the plight of the communities the schools were part of.
Even the charter schools are not sure about this plan.
That's right.
Not be fooled. They know, like you know, that they cannot take a school K-8 as it is and
turn it around in a year with the same population that you have. Don't you know that? And you know that any educator with any sense at all knows that that is an impossibility to do with the conditions that we have in these communities in a year. It won't happen, and they're not going to sign up for that.
With the conditions we have in these communities, he said, it's not going to happen. Dale Rusikoff has written it all up for the New Yorker magazine. She joins us from Montclair, New Jersey. Dale, lots of response here online. Let me put a couple of different views to you. Here's one from Neil writes to us. The reason that schools are hard to turn around is that bad results of our current schools are a symptom of a broken society. Poverty is driving the school bus. That's kind of what we're hearing there from Ras Baraka. On the other hand, here's another listener writes to us, the pervasiveness of corruption in public schools extends far beyond this one conspicuous case. Points right there, and we've heard that word again from you today. What about poverty? What about corruption, bureaucracy, the social problems that we heard Ras Baraka talking about there? How do you put together the relative weight of these challenges, Dale?
Well, I mean, interesting to me, they're both right. You know, the bureaucracies that run public districts are very dysfunctional, and they are at odds with doing the best thing for kids. They have to be, you know, they have to be fixed so that they serve children and that money gets to children in the schools. And I agree completely with Ras Baraka that, you know, the conditions that children live in Newark are not something that a classroom teacher alone can resolve. What he was talking about there was the plan as Cami Anderson, the superintendent, mm-hmm. originally presented it, called for charter schools to take over four existing kindergarten through eighth grade schools as they were and just come in with the existing kids but with their own staffs and turn that entire school around. And the charters had told her, we cannot do that. We cannot start with, you know, nine grades, K to eight, and make a difference. They wanted to start with kindergarten, which is their model, and mm-hmm. then add kindergarten first, kindergarten second, mm-hmm. and then it would take 9 years to get a whole school. And she was pressing them, hoping that they would, you know, take a whole school. And she thought they would do better than the district had done, so give them a chance. And she announced it before they had even agreed to it. And so they ultimately did agree to take kindergarten through fifth grade at three of those schools. Kindergarten through fourth grade. The fifth through eighth graders suddenly learned a month later, oh, we have nowhere to go. We're going to have to find another school to go to. You know, so the plan kept changing. And, you know, some of the things I told you earlier that people were so upset about, you know, like this vocational school that was closing. Well, now that vocational school is relocating to another high school that had lost a lot of students and has room for them. But their culinary program doesn't, you know, you can't, this new high school doesn't have room for a kitchen, you know. Mm-hmm. So they're trying to figure out what to do about those kids. Will they take them to the community college? Will they do? So, you know, it's just like it just keeps evolving as problems arise. The transportation issue, just yesterday, she announced that she was going to run shuttle buses from those schools that are losing their fifth through eighth grade so that they can get to another school. You know, and so it's like, you know, it's kind of being patched up, but because the district is in a total financial crisis, I guess we didn't talk about that. It's unclear how all of this is going to be paid for.
$1 billion budget, even the $100 million was not so much when you put it in that context. Just an amazing.
Well, you know, here's another piece of that. The you know, $1 billion a year versus $100 million over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that $20 million a year. It's really, I mean, for, you know, everyone was like $100 million. That's a ton of money. But in the context of the amount of money spent on public education in Newark, it's not a lot of money.
But and all the more kind of bewildering and infuriating that it can be $1 billion a year budget and not get the job done.
Well, then that's what I'm saying. That's why, you know, the critique of the bureaucracy and the failure of the bureaucracy to serve the kids is on point.
Let's go to Lincoln, Nebraska. Jess is calling. Hi, Jess. You're on the air.
Hi, Tom. Great reporting. Probably the most important story in our country right now. The problem, I think, is, as you framed it at the beginning, this is just celebrityism run amok with ideology. You've got Oprah. You've got, you know, Facebook. You've got all these celebrities trying to tell teachers what they need to do. When I think if you talk to teachers who are working in high-poverty schools, they'll tell you exactly what we need to do. And it doesn't take a lot of, creative new ideas around charter schools and other things like that. It's really pretty straightforward.
But it surely takes something, Jess. It hasn't happened in Newark, even with all this money, and it hasn't happened in a lot of other places where it needs to happen.
Yeah, but reform
really gets away from the main point, which is you need to start early. You need to have early childhood education. You need to provide social and emotional and health supports for young people in poverty while they're in school. And most importantly and most kind of overlooked is you need after-school and summer programming that provides young people from impoverished backgrounds the same kinds of opportunities that their rich peers get every single day of their lives.
Yeah, just...
They only spend 18.5% of their time in a school building. If you make that school building perfect, you're still going to have to deal with all those other issues. And it's really straightforward. Early childhood, social supports, out-of-school time programming, we could dramatically change the state of education.
Jess, we've got it. Straightforward, perhaps, but not easy. And, Dale, I'll come to you. I mean, Priscilla Chan, the wife of Mark Zuckerberg, seemed very focused on these wider issues outside the school that Jess is pointing to.
Definitely. And I mean, I have to say, let me just say one thing, because I agree with everything Jess just said. I think the one thing you left off is really effective and committed support of teachers in their development. You wouldn't believe, or maybe you know, that, you know, many schools, not just urban schools, a new teacher arrives and starts teaching and there's not observation and feedback from a really good instructional leader to help that teacher learn to teach, to help that teacher figure out which kids I'm not reaching and what can I do to reach them. And teaching is just like, you know, day in, day out, care, skill, and improvisation. And, you know, a lot of kids aren't going to get it on the first try or the second try. But if you just, if you're committed and you're working and you're getting the support you need as a teacher, you will reach those kids. And, or maybe the next teacher will reach them and you will have done something. It may not have shown up that first year, but when the kid makes it, it'll be partly because of what you did too. And I think that that's, you know, and that's a piece that's really missing. I do think that in Newark, you know, this the superintendent had a new teacher evaluation system developed that's very specific about what a principal needs to look for in observing a teacher and evaluating a teacher in the way of what is effective teaching. And, you know, the issue is like how much of that is evaluation to rate the teacher and get, you know, and say, well, this teacher's ineffective, and how much of that is just pure supporting the teacher. But I think the support is absolutely essential.
Let me go to Barbara in Cohasset, Massachusetts. Barbara, you're on the air. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Tom. Thanks for taking my call, and thanks for this amazing article. I have it, I'm parked, but I have it in the car with me. I started it last night, and it's just fantastic. I was going to say I did some work in New York to start a charter school in the late 90s and met Cory Booker when he was a new councilman, and I can see why he was attracted to this model. There were North Star Academy Charter School in particular. I actually did some substitute teaching there. It was one of the best experiences I ever had. And what was happening with the students and the parents, the families of Newark that attended that school were amazing. And it was started by people who had years of experience in Newark, so it was had a homegrown flavor to it, people who were going to stay the course. But the other thing about that charter school was that they really had a culture of sharing, of support. They were supporting other charter schools that were starting up. They had training sessions for teachers that were in other charter schools, not only their own, but they really wanted to support the movement.
Hey, Barbara, I mean, that's great, but here we are all these years later, and Newark is still stuck with really lousy performance.
Absolutely, and I think, I don't know exactly what happened with the charter startups. I know there are a lot of good ones, and I know a lot of bad ones have gotten closed, but again, my other point was just the unions, and having taught, I see why unions are important, but there was a statistic in the article about how many administrators, percentage-wise, there are in Newark, and it's shocking, and you can't just get rid of those. So I actually think addressing the union issue, it just doesn't, it makes it hard for teachers to change the school even if they want to.
Barbara, I appreciate your call. Dale, you do report those numbers, a very, very, very thick and heavy bureaucracy there. That's very expensive. And even more than that, Newark's economy so bad that yes. these jobs in the school system itself was almost seen, as you describe it, as a jobs program even before an education enterprise. And people really cared about that because that went to putting food on the table.
Exactly. And, you know, this as Cami Anderson downsizes the district, I mean, she has said, and she's not happy about it, that, you know, in the name of school reform, we're increasing poverty in Newark. And
because jobs are going.
Jobs are going. And, you know, there's the district employs 7,000 people and just over 3,000 are teachers. And so the rest are administrators and support staff. You have like an enormous number of janitors, security guards, clerks, cafeteria workers. And these people live in Newark and support families. And they are the parents and grandparents of Newark public school children. If they lose this rare, precious thing, a secure job with benefits in Newark, New Jersey, there's going to be a lot of children in the public schools who are suddenly thrown into very unstable situations. So it's just like this fragile tipping point, you know, of like, I mean, I was asking Cory Booker, you know, like, what do you, how do you decide? I mean, do you lay off somebody who's got children in the public schools? Do you try to find somebody who doesn't have children in the public schools? And he just says, no, you've got to get, this is not a jobs program. This is an education system. But that leaves a lot of things unexplained about how do you do what's best for the people of Newark right now.
Bite the bullet, he said, but it's a fragile, as you say, ecosystem. Dale, I don't know if you know at this point, but I'm curious about what Mark Zuckerberg and Priscilla Chan, his wife, took away, have taken away from this experience. $100 million is he's got much more than that in his pocket with his Facebook portion, but it's a lot of money. This was a very high-profile investment on his part, and then we heard our caller from Nebraska call deriding it as celebrity-driven reform. Well, fair enough in some way. It was too top-down. But do you have any sense of what they've come away thinking about the challenge and where they might put their efforts next if they stay in education reform?
Well, you know, I do want to emphasize they plan to stay in it. I mean, they're in it for the long haul. And, you know, as he said at the beginning that, you know, he knew nothing about it getting in and he wanted to learn from this experience and become a better philanthropist. So I'm eager to see what he does next. I can tell you
as your headline
that, right?
says, he's been schooled. So what's the schooling
yes.
he's taken away
Well,
from
the schooling
it?
Is I'm not sure that he's going to put his money. I mean, at the moment, he's definitely not looking into trying to find another district where he would do this. But I know that Priscilla Chan is very committed to keeping this, you know, this idea of trying to work to improve the public district as well as charter schools at the forefront of what they're doing. So I think that, you know, something more will come of it. And my reading on them is that they mean it. They want to try to make a difference. And they were very young and very inexperienced. And I think they would probably admit they were a little naive about their judgments of who they were dealing with and whether these people could actually, you know, I think they thought Cory Booker was Superman. And I think they thought that he had the following in Newark to bring people along to make difficult choices and to save the district and build the charter schools. And, you know, he didn't have that following and he didn't have the commitment to work on it day after day after day to try to make it happen. And they misread him.
Cory Booker has moved on to the U.S. Senate. Chris Christie still may very well run for the presidency. And there sits Newark. What are the lessons you take away for Newark, for other school districts around the country that are in trouble here, that don't have an extra $100 million dumped on them, Dale?
Well, so many people have said this is a depressing story, and I'm very sad to hear that. I mean, I know this is depressing about an episode, but what I see in Newark is a lot of incredibly dedicated people who, you know, in individual schools and throughout the city are working with incredible dedication.
But
and
we're kind of
success.
Tired of hearing that when we don't get the results for those kids. I mean, I admire it like you, but there's still frustration.
Yeah, but I mean, some of these people are now in school leadership, and I think it's not just a teacher in a classroom, but it's a whole school full of people. And I think that, you know, they will get some results. I don't think that you're going to see everybody in Newark going to Harvard, you know, in the next 5 years.
Don't need to, but
right.
You don't want them failing either.
Right. And I also think that there has to be an economic development strategy to go along with this because, You know, the level of poverty in Newark doesn't allow for that many parents to be able to focus their kids on the great value of education.
Do you think, I don't know, down the road, 10 years down the road, 20, people might turn around and look and say, well, Mark Zuckerberg got something started there that worked, or you're not so confident of that deal?
Well, I think that, you know, they might see that some of this worked and then they can build on it somewhere else. I think that's the most to hope for.
I love your hopeful outlook, even in this very, very thorny situation. And what terrific reporting that took us inside this kind of combination of big political profiles, people, and big money out of Silicon Valley. Dale Rusikoff's long, in-depth piece in The New Yorker is Schooled. Cory Booker, Chris Christie, and Mark Zuckerberg had a plan to reform Newark schools. They got an education. So have we, Dale. Thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you so much. I enjoyed it.
Dale Rusikoff, writer for The New Yorker. Listeners, thanks for being with us. Good luck with your schools. I'm Tom Ashbrook. This is On Point.